Thanks for the invitation to worship with you. It feels a little bit like a blind date. I hope it works out for us. So what I hope this morning is, as we reflect on this topic that I was given, becoming quiet, that as we reflect together, that you might hear something that would be the beginning of a conversation between you and God. And hopefully you'll hear something that sounds like good news to you. Psalm 62 is pretty good news, I think. It talks about God as our foundation and anchorage for life, because God is on the job. And because He is on the job, we have hope. We can stand our ground through difficult circumstances. And we can always take refuge in God's presence when we're in distress. And I'm struck by how the message puts it. God is breathing room for our soul. My soul. So what I'd like to do is to invite us to take a couple of breaths together. I would like you to just take a breath as deep as you can possibly, and then breathe it out as slowly as you possibly can. And think about nothing except the air going in and out of you. All right? And I won't say anything. So take the first one. One more time. We're told in Genesis that when the cosmos was being created, that God's spirit hovered. The Hebrew word for spirit actually literally means breath or wind, and apparently the word, when you say it, sounds like a breath. And then the next chapter, we're told that when God made Adam, He breathed into his nostrils, which I gather means God took this mud thing that He just shaped, and He had to hold it close in order to breathe into His face. And now, our psalm this morning is possibly suggesting that receiving that breath from God is not a one-time thing. That it is essential for our thriving to regularly take in a breath from God, and to make a space so God can make His presence felt and deliver a life-giving spiritual breath into us. Did you notice that our souls need to breathe? Long time ago, there were two guys in my fellowship who shared the basement. And so one afternoon, I was hanging around there chit-chatting, because it was before we had smartphones and game consoles. And one of the guys, as we were just hanging around, randomly says it was time for him to change the oil in his car. Another guy, who was a law student at the time, said, "What do you mean?" Apparently, he didn't know that you have to change the oil from your car every so often. And what is more scary is that he had a 4-year-old Toyota that he drove here from Ontario. Now, I'm surprised his car didn't turn into this mobile smokestack around town. Now, this story makes for a good car commercial, but I'm pretty sure none of us wants to take that car out of his hands. Increasingly, the modern person, the owner and caretaker of a soul, it's like my friend who owns a car but hasn't been told how to take care of it. Everyone on this planet has a soul. We put it through a lot of wear and tear, but we may not be taking care of it in the way we need to. Now, to be fair, it's not our fault. Where was that instruction booklet that came with our souls? I mean, was there something tied to my soul when I came into this world, and somebody, probably my parents, threw it away without reading it, because that's what we do with manuals, right? So wouldn't it be helpful if there was like a quick start guide to us, and where there's a page in bold letters, it says, don't overload. Make lots of breathing room. The truth is, even if we know our souls need breathing room, it's getting harder to find it. Recently, I saw this thing, I haven't decided if it's ridiculous, on Kickstarter, which is basically a portable pop-up tent. The idea is that any time we can just unzip this thing, pop it out wherever we are, if we just need some time to ourselves. Can you imagine them letting us do this in the middle of a parking lot, or the airport lounge, or at the mall? I think there'll be concerned people seeing this thing, and it's black. Now, I get what problem this guy is trying to solve. Our world is getting flatter and noisier all the time. I don't think we're fully aware of how we are overloaded, our souls, given the rate and breadth that information comes at us. A number of years ago, I went to visit a friend in Toronto. When I came back, I suddenly noticed that I was always walking in front of people. I was just leaving them behind. And I wasn't aware that some internal clock got amped up. Information comes at us constantly through our phones and TVs. Even some of what we think of as entertainment is emotionally intense. So we're feeling things, stressful and painful things from everywhere in the world as if they were happening next door. Which is not entirely a bad thing if we're reminded that we're all connected, that we share humanity together. But it does mean that we have to be skilled in knowing how to carry and process all that extra pain without being crushed. Our psalm suggests giving our soul breathing room to process and cope with the pain that we carry is something we need to do. And perhaps inadequate breathing room is why we're increasingly troubled by things like depression and anxiety and insomnia, and by the way, all three things that I have to manage regularly. Is it possible that these struggles are our souls telling us it isn't getting enough breathing room and it is suffocating and needs a new breath from God? Now, the new buzzword for breathing room is mindfulness. Time magazine actually published an entire issue on this last month, and you can find it on Amazon if you're looking for something like that. And it says somewhere that talking about mindfulness is the new kale. Let me read you a little bit of this. Perks of mindfulness is tangible. The American Psychological Association cites it as a hopeful strategy for alleviating depression, anxiety, and pain. But mindfulness doesn't seem to just boost mood and perception. Mindfulness practice can shrink the brain's jumpy fight-or-flight center, leading to more efficient attention paying and learning. There's a kind of confusion in our culture where people have felt that we have to be anxious, uptight, and always on the go to be effective. Our body is designed to be energetic and active and then recover. People don't have any recovery time. Having quiet recovery time is nothing new in the rhythm of life in the Bible. 3,500 years ago, Moses was instructing God's people to Sabbath every week. Sabbath just means stop in Hebrew. To stop work, take a breath, rest, talk to God, play with friends. Because they weren't slaves anymore, and because they get to rest like God did. Actually, this Jewish philosopher says, when the Bible says God rested on the seventh day of the creation week, it doesn't mean God didn't do anything. It meant God created rest for the first time. And when we Sabbath and stop work, we're entering into the space that God created for us to rest. Sounds kind of abstract. I think what he's saying is that we get to rest because we have a God who makes it possible for us to rest by taking care of business while we take time to catch our breath. And this is crucially important because, you know, you've seen those isolation tanks that people crawl into. So we can crawl into one or unzip our pause pod to get away from it all. But if nobody is taking care of our problems, our stresses, or our livelihood outside of the tank, don't we just all bring it inside with us? And I think this is the thing that occurred to me as I read that Time magazine issue. As a person who believes in the Creator, who gives me a soul to take care of, I think our ability to create rest by ourselves is actually limited. I think what we can do is create a space and hope God shows up. Now, technically, of course, God is always present. He doesn't show up as if he was absent. But what I mean is when I say that is I mean God makes his presence felt. And he somehow shows up in the center of our consciousness. And what we feel in God's presence is what Jewish people call shalom. God brings with him a wholeness into the space so we can rest in it and our soul can catch his breath. Think about the way we breathe, like we did a moment ago. We don't actually suck in air, right? We have this giant muscle called the diaphragm that pulls down, creates a vacuum, and then air flows in. And in the same way, I don't think we can create rest for ourselves. We create a space so God's Spirit can flow in and we feel God's presence. So we're reminded it's okay to stop and rest because he's got us. And everything that matters to us is under control. Because the opposite of quiet is not just noise. It's stress and conflict and hassles and deadlines and problems and all the stuff we need God to help us take care of because there's a lot of it. And it's still quite a bit beyond me. Making breathing room is about intentionally creating a momentary gap between us and life to receive rest from God so we can recalibrate ourselves to God's rhythm. When I was a kid, I went to this Chinese church, and at one point we had two services going on at the same time, and somebody thought it would work a lot better if we can soundproof one of the rooms. So we actually consulted with a professional. And what we were told is in order to soundproof this room, we have to basically gap this room from the rest of the building, which turned out to be undoable. Well, to make a gap for our souls to get some breathing room also takes some intentional effort. And it starts with maybe a daily gap for walk or prayer, or a weekly gap like a Sabbath, or retreat a couple of times a year. And what we hope is to feel God in our gap when we make one, and His Spirit would encounter us in some inspiring, restoring, encouraging way. And we come back refreshed, knowing again that God is with us and He's got our backs. After I'd been a pastor for a couple of years, I was feeling a little bit run down. So I was feeling something which eventually I learned to recognize as my soul telling me that I was in need of air. So the best I can describe is I was becoming this ministry machine. I do what I do, but I don't want to feel what I'm doing. Or I can't feel what I'm doing. I'm not sure which is which. So I decided that it would be a good time to make this gap and to try to catch a spiritual breath. I've always heard about Tofino. At this point, I've never been to it, but I thought, you know, it's not heaven, but you can see it from there or something like that. So I thought I would go there. It's the first time I've been there. And I can tell you it was the most frustrating experience because it was a beautiful place. It's sort of September, and nobody was there. So the place was empty. You would think it would be easy to find God there. But instead, it was just nothing. So I've been there for like 3 days and just nothing. I felt nothing. There's in the hotel bathroom, there's a skylight, and the place where you sit, you can look out of the skylight and see this magnificent tree in the sky, and I felt nothing. So by the third day, I felt like the tree was mocking me. So it was about time to leave, and just before I left, and I went and sat on this log on the beach because there was no one there. So I just sat on a log on the beach. And there was a moment where I closed my eyes, and then I suddenly remember Genesis and about the spirit being breath or air, and I felt this breeze on my arm. And then it's like I heard God say, "There, there, I'm here. And I've been here all along." It turns out I didn't have to go 5 hours away to find him. It's just that I tend to miss him by anxiously looking in the wrong direction. So to this day, when I take my mom out for a walk after dinner, a breeze on my arm always reminds me of that moment and reminds me of God being with me. To get the breathing room our soul needs, we can only make the gap. And we hope God shows up because God has the breath we need. Now, I'm not an outdoorsman, like Dave seems to be on his Facebook page. But what I gather is that men like to measure the success of fishing trips by the size of the catch. But as far as I know, no man ever stops fishing because last time they didn't catch anything. Making a gap to wait on God to tend to our soul is not about how big a breath we can catch or whether we might stop trying to make space because nothing happened the last time I tried it. My Tofino experience was the most frustrating and the most amazing thing at the same time that I remember. We do it because our souls need it. We are at God's mercy because God doesn't jump just because I say. And we're going to keep making breathing room as long as we have a soul that needs caring for. It's like thirsty people digging a well. It's often frustrating at the beginning because we're dehydrated and we're worn out. But we do it because we're desperate and we really don't know if and when or how much water will come in to the bottom of the hole. But even if the hole is dry for the day, I'm back at it the next day with shovel in hand because God is the source of living water, God says. And I will not give up reaching for him or try to dig somewhere else. I bought this book called Poems for the Sabbath Day. So for a while, I would read one every Sabbath and just sort of marinate with it. Mostly because I don't really know how to read poetry. But this is one of my favorites. If I get him at all, this is Wendell Berry. If I get him at all, it is about how God shows up when we stop and heals us. He makes us a little less scary to others, and we become a little less scared of others. I go among the trees and sit still. All my stirring becomes quiet around me like circles on water. My tasks lie in their places where I left them, asleep like cattle. Then what is afraid of me comes and lives a while in my sight. What it fears in me leaves me, and the fear of me leaves it. It sings, I hear its song. Then what I'm afraid of comes. I live for a while in its sight. What I fear in it leaves it, and the fear of it leaves me. It sings, and I hear its song. After days of labor, mute in my consternations, I hear my song at last, and I sing it. As we sing, the day turns, the trees move. A properly oxygenated soul is not just good for our health. It also overflows benefits into our relationships. I met a guy once who told me that he dated God for a year. Actually, what happened was he got dumped in college. And he decided that for the next year, instead of dating, that he would go and spend that time with God. So he said he would take his Bible, his guitar, and his journal and go to the park and spend Friday nights there. He said, at the beginning, it was like pulling teeth. He just ran out of things to say. So he would start to pray, and he said he would pray what he thought was a long time. He looked at the watch, it was in 5 minutes. So he goes back to praying. Now he's praying for the world and anything he could think of, and then another 5 minutes pass. But after about 6 months, he said time just sort of passed easily, and he couldn't get enough of God. And he would write in his journal. And then after 6 months, he just then would spend time rereading the stuff that he had written in the first 6 months. And he said, as he read his journal, he heard God say, "See the way I have treated you with respect in these last 6 months on Friday nights. Treat girls you date with the same respect." So shalom is not just a private feeling of inner well-being. It's also peaceful existence with God, with ourselves and the world, because we're all connected. When our souls are healthy, we feel better within ourselves, we function better in the world, but we're also a little softer and kinder, a little gentler with people, more attentive and compassionate, perhaps a little more like Jesus, because we have been with God in his presence, and we're becoming the company we keep. So I invite you to schedule a little time to gap yourself from your life to see how your soul is doing, how your significant relationships are doing. You may find yourself reaching for God for something, and perhaps you will then book a time in your schedule for the next gap and see how God would fill it. Let's all pray together. Father, we take this moment to allow ourselves to be reminded that we're creatures, not designed to run on our own, but we draw life each moment from your breath. And as some of us go make breathing room, we wait on your spirit, we look forward to the way he will make his presence felt, and how he might restore, renew, refresh us in the way we need. And we pray he would recalibrate our souls so we can come back into life to live authentically as your children, as peacemakers, and agents of blessing in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.